Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work.
Today I'm talking with Rick Powers. He is a youth pastor that has taken several missions teams or youth groups on missions trips. And so I'm going to have him just tell us a little bit about taking groups, some things that he's done, some things that he's learned. So Brother Rick, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and some of your background?
I'm from Brunswick, Ohio, and I've been the youth pastor for about 7 years full-time. And this is my fifth mission trip in charge of, taking teenagers, doing various countries, various things from vacation Bible schools to street ministries to work projects.
Can you name some of the countries and specifically what you did in each one of those countries?
First one I ever took was San Jose, Costa Rica, and we did actually a summer camp with children. And did puppet shows and skits, and were actually counselors with the Costa Rican children in the cabins. Then I went to Bolivia, and we did street ministries in the plazas and out in the different villages, putting on skits, balloon animals, anything the missionary wanted to do to draw a crowd, and then preach a sermon. Been to St. Kitts, put on a Bible school that had over 900 children. Actually did two Bible schools a day, and then here I am in Merida, Mexico, and we're actually doing a work project painting the church for Pastor Verde.
About how long are each of these trips? Are they 8 days, 7 days?
They're 7 to 10 days. We try not to go more than 10 days with teenagers. They get a little restless, and it seems to be a good time period, 7 to 10 days.
I've often heard, and I've experienced it, that 10 days really is the maximum. What would be some of the reasonings for that?
I really don't know. I have some friends who have gone on 2- and 3-week mission trips, and all they really told me was that's a long time. And I don't know if it's homesick. I don't know if it's just can't put up with the food much longer, you know, than 10 days. It's a general answer of, that was a long trip, if it was more than 10 days.
I've had experience with trips longer than 10 days, and I think 10 days is probably about how long your patience can last, because you can forgive a lot of things, and you can look over a lot of things, but only for so long. Obviously, a missionary who lives in the country, they go through the culture shock that everybody talks about. Well, that, you know, some of that is just comes with time. You forgive so much stuff, but you get to a point where you're going to break. And with teenagers, I think that number, probably 10 days, is about the max. Would you go less than 7 days?
Probably not, unless it was an in-country trip, just because you really lose two of those 7 days traveling. Even if it's in-country, you'd probably lose a day, a half day each traveling each way. But I probably wouldn't recommend doing a mission trip unless the missionary specifically asks you to come help them for 5 days or something like that.
Now, in Costa Rica, you said you did a camp there. Did you have other church groups working with you? Obviously, there would have been national churches working with you. Did you have other American churches working with you there?
No, it was just our missionaries that are in Costa Rica, and they have a Christian school as part of their ministry, and it was their school summer vacation, summer camp, and they usually try to find American churches to come and help them. And so we decided to do that, and they were English speaking, so it helped. It was, since their school is English speaking school, so.
So this is a missionary that has done this type of thing previously. He had other groups in. Did you see anything working with him that was a help to you? Did he recommend certain things that you found out later? Man, I'm sure glad we did that.
Well, probably it. I was probably a little different case because he's a very close friend of the families, and he actually was born in Costa Rica because his family were missionaries already. They know where to go, where to let us stay, where to have us eat, where to tell us not to walk down, and we really feel safe when we go there, just probably the fact that it's like going to visit relatives when we go there. So probably anything. It's probably the easiest trip for me, but like I said, I'd be indifferent than if somebody else went to Costa Rica, unless they had the same kind of connection with a missionary.
In Bolivia, you went there for street ministry. What all did that entail? Handing out tracts?
What we would do is we would put on, we had a schedule printed out for like which skits we were going to do each day, puppet shows in the square, and just have all the equipment and set it up and tear it down and go to another plaza. But we were mainly to draw the crowd. If you start doing like pantomime skits and things that you don't really have to speak their language, and people come in the plaza to watch, and then the puppets draw the children, and you're handing out balloon animals and candy. And then when the crowd comes and we finish our show, then the missionary would get up and speak, and after he spoke, we'd hand out like a Romans tract or something like that that explains it to what he just said.
And did you do that for several hours a day?
Yeah, we probably did 3 plazas a day, so it was probably a good 6 to 8 hours a day.
Wow. That type of ministry, have you been in other places where you feel like that probably would not have worked?
Bolivia was probably my hardest mission trip, farthest we've ever gone. Real culture shock. But it worked there. Most places I've been to, even though we've done a different type of ministry there, I think that ministry would probably work in about any country, unless they had laws against speaking about Christ in the streets or something like that.
What age group kids do you take on these trips?
We take nobody under 16. I find that's the best age. They're still a little teenagerish, but they can kind of handle it. They've got some maturity in them. And up till, even if they've graduated senior, as long as they're not in, you know, if they're getting ready to go off to college, like after the summer, they can still go. It's not like just because they graduated in June that they can't go anymore.
So you have a 2 to 3 year window then?
Mm-hmm. Like 16 to 18, 19, depending on, you know, like when they were born or when they went to school, things like that. So it's a, we go every other year. We find that works mainly just because support from our church people. If you ask them to support you, you know, your teenagers for $1,000, $1,200 every year, and you take 15 to 30 teenagers, that's a lot of support to try to raise. Plus, our men take a work missions trip every the opposite year of us, and so it just works good.
So then somebody in the youth group could potentially take 2 of these trips.
Mm-hmm. They could if they take one at some, you know, they'll be 16, but they'll be a freshman, you know, depending on how they went to school, if they got held back when they were in kindergarten or something. And so they could feasibly take 2 trips before they leave the youth group.
What's the biggest group of kids you've taken?
Biggest group was the St. Kitts. We had 32.
Do you think that was too many? Was that just about right?
For that trip, it was probably just right. We could have even used a little more, just having that many children. Even though the church members in St. Kitts helped us out, we probably could have used a whole lot more help along. But it's a pretty big group to take through to airports and things like that. Just especially, you know, when you got the weight of their parents, like, this is my baby, take care of them.
Right.
And the more you have, you think this is great, their kids are interested in missions and they want to do this and give back and help and give up part of their summer. But then you're like, I have to be their parent. So the more you have, the more stress you have.
Yeah. What's the smallest group you've taken?
Smallest group I took was to Bolivia. We just took 10.
Was it easier to manage the smaller group, or was it about the same?
Stress level was probably the same, but it was a little easier because you can keep track. You don't have to have as many of your youth leaders to go along with you.
What are some of the things that you've learned along the way that maybe you employed in this trip that you hadn't done previously that worked out real well for you?
Probably the biggest thing for any of the mission trips I've been on that I learned every year is that I need to fundraise earlier every year. Even if I started a month earlier for this trip than I did the last trip, it wasn't enough.
This is the end of June. When did y'all start in your fundraising?
We actually didn't really confirm the trip till January, mid-January, but we actually started fundraising in November, just knowing we're going to take a trip.
when you take these trips, do you really depend a lot on the missionary on the field, like Brother Green, or do you feel like who's in charge? Who do you feel like should be in charge of this group?
We're here to serve them, and that's how we look at it. I mean, if we see things that are crazy or if the schedule might be a little off the wall, I might have to say something like, you know, we need to relax a little, or you're not giving us enough to do, or things like that. But like I said, we're here to serve them, and I don't think anybody really feels like they're in charge. Like, we do depend on them, especially in a country if we don't speak the language. We definitely depend on the missionary to help us out and negotiate hotels and help us pay for things so we make sure we're not getting ripped off. And they know the people, and they can kind of go around, know the right places to find the supplies and things we need. So yeah, we do really depend on the missionaries, even if it's like, even if it was Costa Rica and my real good friend there, it's still depend on them because they're there and we're not there. So we have to just call down and trust them that they know, yeah, this is a good hotel you picked. You can stay there. It'd be good. And they're giving you a good price. And, you know, we're going to take you to eat here and trust them that we're not going to get sick, you know, and things like that.
Has there been anything that has happened on any trip that you really learned from that maybe you won't do again?
Probably just really, since you're going to another culture, you really need to make sure that you know that culture before you get there, so that, you know, along the way you have all kinds of things happen on the mission field, but you also have all kinds of things happen at home with teenagers, you know, where they could say things and stuff. But probably the biggest mistake is that I made would be some of the first trips not really explaining to them some things you can't say, some things you can't do, or you can't, you know, goof around like an American teenager. You know, you can get away with it maybe at home because it's culturally accepted, but here it might not be. Even if we don't know for sure, just don't do it. And some of the first trips, not really thinking about that, more worrying about can we raise the finances and are we going to stay in a nice place and are we going to have water to drink and worrying about those kinds of things and not getting there until something happens.
Beyond telling them about the culture, what other things do you do to prepare the kids for the trip, maybe spiritually or just mentally?
We usually try to meet as a group as much before, just especially if it's like a vacation Bible school or street evangelism kind of trip. We have to do a lot of practices because we don't let them read scripts and we don't let them have cheat sheets and things. We want it to be, you know, top notch. So if we have 10, 15 skits to learn, we have to do it before we get there. Puppet programs, even if they're in other languages, just try to get them be in sync with the language. If they're singing, all those kinds of things. Like a work trip, just kind of really get as much information as I can. And then I have a lot of question and answer sessions. I always make sure one parent is with them when we have these meetings. And I just let them ask questions. And if I don't know the answer, then we're not there yet. So we have time to find out the answer and ease the parents' minds and that they're going to be safe or they're, you know, the hotel's fine, you know, and stuff like that.
This trip is a work trip. So you're doing some painting. Tell us a little bit about what you're accomplishing here. And is this type of trip a little easier to organize than one where you would do vacation Bible school type thing?
Work trips are definitely easier just because there's not a lot of prep time before we come. It's probably harder on the missionaries because, you know, we send a check down and they do a lot of the heavy work by getting our supplies. Like this trip is paint and negotiating paint and measuring, figuring out how much they need and have that and rollers and brushes and things like that ready for us so we can just come in and paint. It probably is easier. And this trip, just our goal is to get as much done and make Pastor Verde happy. And our goal is to completely paint the church. So we have a couple more days to work and hopefully get it done.
Good. Well, thank you, Rick. It's been nice talking to you. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would have to say if you're a youth pastor or even a missionary, thinking about something like that, definitely do it. Not think about it, just do it. If you're a missionary, call your home church, call a supporting church, and just say we're open to mission trips and we'd love to have you. And but if you do, make sure you have work to be done. You have something, you know, if it's ministry related, make sure you have the places for them to go. If it's work related, make sure you have enough work for them to do. Youth pastors, if you've been hemming and hawing, or maybe your senior pastor isn't too keen on it, let them listen to this and see. It would make a big difference in your youth group. It'd open your teenager's eyes. If you're a teenager, you'll really see how well you have it. Most of my teenagers, even though it kind of sounds repetitive when we go back to the home church and give a report, you know, and most of them say, my eyes were open, but that's all they can say. And it's because they realize how good they have it, even if they are arguing with their parents, or they have to work for their car insurance, or mom and dad wouldn't buy them the car they wanted or something. Then they realize when they go on a mission trip and they kind of go back and hug mom and dad, and they enjoy their room a little better, and their car looks a little nicer, and things like that. So I'd have to say, like Nike says, just do it. Don't ask, don't hem and haw, just do it.
If you have any questions for Brother Rick, then you're welcome to go to his website, the church's website. You can go to missionarytalks.com, and I'll have a link there for his contact information.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.